Hey, man, that's appreciate Brother Wiggins, and that's his mother and daughter. Isn't that good? And I kind of put them on the spot last night. I said, boy, if there's a place that opens up, you guys can sing this morning. I appreciate that you would do that, and I appreciate them doing that. So I love him. That's all I have to say. I love the Lord, and appreciate the songs this morning, the ladies' trio, and just tremendous. Would, if you would, in your Bibles this morning, if you would turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I appreciate all those who saw me earlier. I know I look like Superman. Nobody nearly noticed except my wife. I came in to the services with the wrong jacket on. And I'm glad my wife picked up on it. I had like a green jacket with the silver pants on. I keep all my jackets up in my office. And so when I went to come down here for the service, I just grabbed one. And I guess the green one happened to be in front. I don't know. Yeah, whatever it was. Anyway, so now I'm better, I think, as good as it gets, under the circumstances. At least I match, sort of. I'm the one that picked this tie off this morning, so anyway. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I want to primarily deal with the term being born again. And there's a lot more in this message. I've preached this particular passage before. But just that phrase, born again. Are you born again this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love and all that you've done for us. And God, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, that would enable us to be born again. I pray, God, that if there's someone here this morning who has never put their faith and trust in you, they do so today. And Lord, for the Christians here today, I pray that we would follow in Jesus' steps. Help us, Lord, to bear the marks of the nature of God. We ask this in your name. Amen. There's no mistaking if you've seen my dad, my earthly dad, if you've seen my dad and you look at me, you know that I am my father's son. We have a lot of the similar traits physically, even emotionally, and even our will, a lot of the same personality of my dad. And a lot of you have heard many stories about my dad, and I love my dad. But we have a lot of similar traits. I'm built like him. I can take him now that he's 62, I believe. Finally got to where I can take him. Nobody really cares, do they? I'm just proud that I can take a 62-year-old man. And I just want to be very, very honest with you. It's barely. My dad's in better shape than I am. But just a lot of similar traits. We have the same nose, and I'm going bald like he did. I mean, everything that my dad is physically, a lot of what my dad is physically, I definitely am patterned after him. If you were to look at my brother, even though my brother's built differently, there's a lot of similarities between my brother and my dad and so forth. If I was to have Troy Day stand and have his son Noah stand, there would be no doubt that I was going to have y'all come up here, I was looking for my boys. They must be working somewhere. So, but if you were to have Troy and Noah stand, there's no doubt, father and son, they are who they are. They look a lot alike, a lot alike. Sorry, Noah. Just a lot of similarities, a lot of the same traits physically, and even knowing them personally, knowing they have a lot of the same emotional and personalities as well. And so we know that our traits are inherent from our fathers and from our mothers, and a lot of this. In fact, I saw a picture recently of me at the ski trip, and I think it's on Facebook. And if you look at that picture on the ski trip, my hair is really all standing up. I'd just taken my toboggan off. And I'm smiling, and I look like my mom a little bit. It's okay. So we take after, the physical traits. I preached on Easter Sunday about the second Adam. How the first Adam got us into a mess and sin came upon every man. And then we talked about the second Adam, Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow along that same line this morning, except just want to use with you this morning the pattern that we have. In other words, being born again, what does that mean? And then what does it mean that to pattern ourselves after the image of God? And what does it mean? What does the image of God mean? What does that mean if man was created after the image of God? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, I'm just going to read it, and if you want to, you can turn there, but I'm going to get on with it. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. He created man after whose image? After God's own image. That's the title of the message this morning, God's image. We were created, Adam was created after God's own image. He was made in the image of God. You say, preacher, what does that mean, he was made in the image of God? Does it mean he was made in the physical form of God? Well, the Bible says that God is a spirit. Now, I believe that, of course, Jesus Christ now sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is in a human body. And we know because he is human, just he's man and God, amen? But we don't know, I can't tell definite, that God created Adam in his physical likeness, though I would tell you I would lean towards that. And so God created man in his image. What does that mean? Well, it simply means that we were given a mind to think with. Everybody with me? We were given a will. Man, that's a great thing, by the way, that you have the will to choose. What if you were just created like robots? What if we were created like robots and we just had to do what God said? Yes, Lord, glory, hallelujah, you know. Amen. No, we're given a choice. You have a choice of what color you like the most. You have a choice of what vehicle to buy. You can choose wrong all you want. Ford guys and Dodge guys. You have a choice to choose whatever. You have a choice whether to be saved or not, whether to accept Christ as your Savior. We have those choices. We've been given a mind, we've been given a will, and we've been given emotions. The mind, will, and emotions is what is made up. The Bible speaks of the heart. The Bible says, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. The heart, most of the time when the Bible is referring to the heart, it's referring to the mind, the will, and the emotions. That inherently is what we received from our Heavenly Father. The mind, will, and emotions. Because just kind of keep on that track with me as we think about being made in the image of God. Now, when Adam and Eve were created, they also were created in the image of God. They had the mind, will, and emotions. They did not have an Adamic nature. They did not have a sinful nature. Therefore, they were created with a selfless nature, that nature of God. And we'll go into that more in a little bit. But we know that Adam sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin, because of he took that fruit willingly, the forbidden fruit that God had told them not to eat of, when he took of that fruit willingly from his wife and partook of the fruit, he sinned willfully. And therefore, the Bible says, because he sinned willfully, that sin was passed upon all men. Understand that God created only one man and one woman. With the other animals, he created many, but with man, he created one. And so all of us are kin to Adam. And in Adam, we all sinned. And in Adam, we all receive our sinful nature. In Adam, we are all born selfish. In Adam, we are all born selfish. Adam, when he was created by God, was not given a selfish nature. But he was given a choice. He chose to rebel and disobey God. He chose his will above God's will. And therefore, Adam sinned, and in Adam, all the human race fell because of Adam. So that's terrible, preacher. Well, it's fact. It's the truth. Now, we think about this being made in the image of God and made after his likeness. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says that we were made in the image of God, that Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. But over in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2, and this would be interesting for some of you who maybe haven't noticed this in your Bible, some of you Christians who have never noticed this, but in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, it says this. It says, and he begat a son, talking about Adam, and he begat a son in his own likeness and after His image. So when that child was born, that child was not born after God's image. The child was born after Adam's image and after Adam's likeness. When Caleb, my oldest, was born, he was not born in the image of God. When Caleb, my oldest, was born, he was born in the image of Adam. When my second boy was born, Joshua, he wasn't born in the image of God. He was born after my likeness, after my image, after my own likeness, not after the image of God. When Micah was born, it was very evident after a few years that he was not born after the image of God, that he was born after the image of his dad. And I take a lot of the brunt of that, right? Everybody see? Everybody see the logical conclusion here now? I want you to get it. When your children are born, when your grandchildren are born, they're born after the likeness of their mom and daddy. I'm talking about the mind, will, and emotions, not after the image of God. As we think about this, we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says, God who at sundry times, that means in different times and in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, who being in the brightness of His glory, talking about God, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, God's person. Christ was born in this world after the likeness of man, but He was born in the express image of God. That mind, the will, and emotions, He did not inherit a sinful nature because He was not born of Adam. He was born of a virgin. He did not have an earthly daddy. He did not receive that sinful nature from His daddy. He received that God's image from the part which the Holy Spirit provided. Everybody hang with me now. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ did not have a human father. Therefore, He received a godly image. He received God's image, a mind, a will, and emotions. Everybody with me? He would have been just as Adam was. Our Savior was born with a sinless nature. Our Savior was born with a sinless disposition. Our Savior was not born with a selfish disposition and a selfish nature. He didn't fight with His other siblings. He wasn't selfish. He didn't take candy bars away from His other siblings. He didn't cry for no reason. He didn't talk back to His parents. He didn't rebel against His parents. No, Jesus Christ, from the time He was born to the time He was crucified on the cross of Calvary, never one time had a sinful thought. Never one time performed a sinful deed. He was perfect man because He was in God's image. Jesus Christ, the image of God back on earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Our natural birth made us part of the fall of the human race. Again, our natural birth made us part of the fallen race of Adam, the sinful race, that sinful image, man's image, born into Adam's race. But our new birth, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you become a part of the godly race, if you would. In other words, God's image. The Bible describes that again in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Many were made after their own image. Sinful dispositions. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Talking about Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:4 says, we are partakers of the divine nature of God. When the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, when you accept Christ as your Savior, when you trust in Jesus Christ and you accept Him, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you and you become a partaker of the divine nature of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I am going to turn over there. You might be close there. And if you're in John, just turn over a few books. 1 John chapter 15, pretty familiar passage. I read part of this on Easter Sunday. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look with me in verse 20. Again, as we think about the partakers of the divine image of God, as we think about the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation, at the moment of salvation, when we place our trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone for our, for our salvation, then the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And we become a partaker of the divine image. Adam's likeness is erased. God's image is stamped in its place. Remember that song we sing at Christmas, and I always tell our congregation, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, is probably the most doctrinally sound, most full of doctrine song in our hymn book. And it goes like this. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface. Stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above. Reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. That's the last verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let me read it. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, Christ. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, and that means erase. Adam's likeness now erase. Stamp thine image, God's image, in its place. Second Adam from above, talking about Christ, reinstate us in thy love. Partakers of the divine image of God. Adam's likeness erased, God's image stamped in its place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept? For since by man came death, talking about Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, talking about Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now turn over to verse 42. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Again, the question here is talking about whether or not there's going to be a resurrection. Absolutely. Paul's saying here there is going to be a resurrection. And he says there, so also the resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. God formed into the image. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Talking about Adam was of the natural. And afterwards, that which is the spiritual, Christ. The first man is of the earth, earthy, talking about Adam. The second man is the Lord from what? Heaven. As is the earthy, Adam, so are they also that are earthy. That's us. Earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. That's those who accept Christ as Savior. Verse 49. And as we have been born, as we have borne the image of the earthy, Adam's likeness, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. We're doing that now, and one day, the final result of that is what this verse talks about, being changed to the image of God. Look there. Now, as I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption. Can I tell you that this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? But something happens here. Look at the rest of these verses. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, not all die, but we shall be changed, all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? One day, the trumpet will sound. And just as God sounded forth off of Mount Sinai like a trumpet, Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and all those Israelites down at the bottom heard the voice of God, and it sounded like a trumpet. One day we, as Christians, those who have been born again, will hear the trumpet of God, will hear the voice of God. And the Bible says that this corruptible will put on incorruption, that this mortal shall put on immortality, and will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trump. And I'm looking forward to that day. I've been changed, I've been newborn. You know, I'm so glad that I've been born again. And I have the coming of the Lord Jesus to look forward to. We are made in the express image of God. We are born earthy. But when we're born again, we're reborn heavenly. We are born in Adam's race. And when you accept Christ as Savior, into God's race, if you would. Earthly, heavenly. Old nature, new nature. Adam's likeness, when we're born again, God's likeness. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Which likeness are you in now? Have you been born again? Jesus said to Nicodemus, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, you ought to be born again. Is that what it says? No, it says you must be born again. If you could just feel the intensity of the voice of Christ, you must be born again. Not you ought to be or kind of so, but you must be born again. Can I tell you this morning? If you are to inherit the kingdom of God, you must be born again. If you are to find your place in heaven one day, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, what do you mean? What do you mean you must be born again? What in the world are you talking about? And Jesus said to him, listen, you must be born of the water first. And by the way, if you're in this room today, you've been born of the water. That's not talking about baptism. That's talking about your earthly birth, being born of the water. You know, when your wife comes in the room and says it's time to go, something's happened. Secondly, you must be born of the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about this morning, being born of the Spirit. Love that song, being born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made. Man, these old hymns, oh my goodness. There's not a doctrine in this Bible these old hymns don't cover. Being born again, born of the Spirit. Have you been born again? As we think about being born again, as we think about that image of Adam that we received at birth, and then at salvation we receive the new image, as Corinthians tells us just a few chapters over, actually, a familiar passage there in chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When I accept Christ as my Savior, I'm a new creature in Christ. I am born again. I receive that divine nature, that be a partaker of the divine nature of God. The things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been what? Born again. A great change. The places I used to want to go, I don't want to go there anymore. The things I used to say, I don't want to say those things anymore. The things I used to do, there's been a change. When you accept Christ as your Savior, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It changes you. By the way, you don't change to get saved. Christ changes you after you get saved. You don't turn over a new leaf in order to get saved. You don't work to get saved. Christ helps you after you get saved. I'm telling you, what a great Savior we have. And when you accept Christ as your Savior and we are quickened, that Spirit quickens our spirit and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And what a change it makes. And I want to say again, I heard a preacher say this, if the Holy Spirit moves in, you're going to know it. Honestly, something that big moves into your life and you're going to know it. A lot of people question their salvation. Well, am I saved? Am I not? I'm telling you right now, listen, if the Holy Spirit indwells you, you're going to know that. You're going to know it. There's not a doubt in my mind. I've been born again. There's a change in me. Listen, I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life. I'm so thankful for that when I do something wrong, I feel that conviction and I feel that Holy Spirit chastening, saying, hey, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have went there. you shouldn't have. I'm so thankful for that. That Holy Spirit inside of me. That is a sign that I've been born again. There are various signs or various characteristics of my boys that prove that they are my boys. And none of them are here this morning, so I won't make fun of them, but we could for very much, and it would be a lot of fun. But we know the two oldest ones definitely inherited the nose. Right? I just tell them all the time, be thankful for the nose you got. I can smell things a mile away, you know? Especially food. And so you can absolutely see the characteristics, or you can see that they're my children. And can I tell you this morning, listen, if you're born again, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, there are some characteristics that should be in your life. There ought to be some evidences in your life that you're no longer after the image of Adam, but now you have been transformed and are in the image of God. Yes, Adam was created after the image, his son was created after his own likeness. But when we are born again, we're created and a new creature in Christ. We are born again after God's likeness. You say, preacher, that's true. It's absolutely true. Your mind, your will, and emotions do change. Our mind. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. As a Christian, as a born-again one, I want to have the mind of Christ. I do. And Paul says, let this mind. It's not something you can make. It happens. Let this mind be in you. The Bible talks about our thoughts. Our thoughts. We're going to talk about the mind, will, and emotions now. Our thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 speaks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You hear that old saying, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. It's absolutely true. As we think about bearing the image of God, we think about having His thoughts, having the mind of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by some of y'all know the verse, the renewing of your mind. So after a person accepts Christ as Savior, after they're born again, a transformation takes place. It's called the process of sanctification, whereas God brings us to a state of being born again as a babe in Christ. And then spiritually speaking, just as a baby grows up to the toddler stage and to that middle stage and then to the young adult stage or teenager stage and young adult, so do we do so spiritually. We start out as babes in Christ and drinking the milk of the Word and begin to eat meat, and we grow spiritually, or we should grow spiritually. Jesus is working on us, conforming us into the image. God is working on us, conforming us to the image of His Son, right? He's molding and shaping us. The process of sanctification. The process of sanctification. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That takes place. That renewing takes place of your mind as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you talk and walk with Him. Bringing every thought into captivity. If I'm going to have the mind of Christ, if I'm going to think like the Lord thinks, then I'm going to need to read His book. How do I know what He thinks if I don't read His book? Because His book tells us what He thinks. If I'm going to renew my mind, what's going to renew my mind? Sitting in a meditative position with my fingers such as this and doing the hum. No, it's not what's going to renew my mind. Oh, that'll help me be very introspective and very humanistic and in search within myself for the answers. But I'm going to tell you right now, the search for answers is not found within oneself. The search for the answers of life are found within the book of the Bible, are found within these pages. The answers to life questions are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, by reading and studying the Word of God, our thoughts begin to change. Our thoughts change. By the way, there is a principle called the replacement principle. Some of you who think, well, I mean, I'm born again and that's all fine and dandy and I'll be all right without ever reading your Bible, without ever, you know, really trying to develop a relationship with Christ, I can tell you right now it won't work. What you have to do is you have to replace whatever things have been in your mind with something that's positive and good. Right? I've used this illustration with you before. Everybody think about the number one. Right now, just in your mind, just start repeating in your mind. One, one, one. Everybody, if you do this right, it works. One, one. Everybody thinking about the number one? Maybe even picture the number one in your mind. Maybe in Roman characters? No. Think about the number one. Now stop thinking about it. Don't think about the number one anymore. Stop thinking about it. Stop thinking. It's hard to stop thinking about it. But if you'll start thinking about the number 1,000, the number 1,000, now start thinking about 1,000. See, you got to replace the first thought with the second thought. Or the first thought just, it hangs in your mind. Everybody with me? Idle mind's the devil's workshop. You got something stressful going on in your life? You got something that's you're having a hard time dealing with and you can't get it out of your mind? You need to replace it with another thought. And once you go to the Bible and start reading, that'll sure help replace those thoughts. I promise you it works every time. When we go through valleys, when we go through trials, when we go through testings, and our mind becomes weary and our hearts become very stressful, get your Bible out, begin to read it. Oh man, you talk about comfort. Get the Psalms out, begin to read the Psalms. It'll help you. Bringing every thought into captivity of others. Now, I spent too much time on that to say this to you. As we think about having the mind of Christ, essentially that means thinking of others in front of yourself. It means doing for others as you'd have them do unto you. It's basically the golden rule. A disposition or a sinless disposition or a sinless nature has more to do with being selfless. The sinful nature is that which is selfish. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You have to train them otherwise. And that carries over into adulthood. There's no doubt about it. And when we think about being created in the image of God, we think about being after His likeness. It is that selfless disposition that is that partaker, that divine nature. That nature of God is that selfless disposition we receive when we are born again. When we are born again. Listen, this will help you more in your life than you would ever dream of. Paul says in Philippians, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for their state, for all seek their own. See, man is naturally selfish. And when man is born again, when mankind, when men, women, boy and girl, when they are born again in the family of God, we receive that divine nature of God, and that divine nature is selfless. And all of a sudden, we want to do for others. All of a sudden, we want to put others in front of ourselves. Oh, before a person gets saved, you might be willing to put your family in front of yourself. Some people don't even do that. But after you get saved, you'll find a remarkable change. You'll have selfless feelings towards the person checking you out at Target. Not checking you out. I don't mean checking you out. I'm talking about the person checking you out at the counter. Brother Latta told me, man, everybody's got these straight faces today. And one thing about it, I'm not a joke teller. I can't tell a joke. Our membership knows that. But I don't mind making fun of myself. And sometimes even at the expense of others. And I know I should have a better selfless tendency towards that. But it's amazing how when you get saved, when you're born again, you have selfless feelings towards the waiter or waitress. You want to do something for them. It's amazing. I'm telling you, it happens. All of a sudden, you have selfless feelings towards your coworkers and your neighbors. You want to do something for them. I'm not saying this doesn't happen the normal way. I'm talking about on a large scale. I'm talking about just your will within you wanting to do something for somebody else. It's amazing. The change that takes place, the self-sacrifice that we receive by way of our Savior, the love that we receive, the love for each other we receive at the moment of salvation. As our thoughts are on Christ, as our thoughts concern Him, as we develop our relationship with Jesus Christ, as we read our Bible, as we pray, as we attend church, as we give, as we tell others about Jesus, as we develop our relationship with Jesus Christ, all the other relationships that we have in our life, our marriages, our children, our coworkers, our neighbors, all of those relationships work out. That may not work out to your good, but they work out. If my relationship with God is right, and I'm following Him, my relationship with my fellow man will be right. What a wonderful comfort it is. What a great peace it will have for you in your life. You want help in your marriage? Develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship with your spouse will become right. Well, you mean my wife will change? No, I'm saying as you get your life right, as you get right with God, you will change. And can I tell you, you're not going to change your spouse. It's you that has to change. And the only change, that renewing of the mind, the only way that renewing of the mind is going to take place, the only way that we're going to receive that mind of Christ is by developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we do so, a change takes place. It's amazing. Our mind, our will, our emotions. Our will, Adam's image was selfish, and he said, my will be done. But God said, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he said, not my will be done, but what? Thy will be done. And Jesus lived to please the Father. Jesus Christ lived for 33 and a half years to please his heavenly Father, to do what he asked him to do. Can I tell you this morning, if you are born again and you're part of the family of God, we're to follow and be led by our heavenly Father. The Lord, what would you have me to do? Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done in my life. Whether it's a job situation or a family situation, whatever it may be, God, what do you want in this? What do you want me to do in this? You say, preacher, does God still guide? Absolutely, he still guides. And he'll guide you in every area of your life. Every area. By the way, where he leads, he feeds. You've heard those phrases. Where he guides, he provides. If God is guiding you, he'll provide every step of the way. The mind, having the mind of Christ, having the will of our Heavenly Father, putting his will in front of ours. Lastly, our emotions. We think about all the Old Testament characters and their emotions. Jeremiah, the what? The weeping prophet. Moses, who stood between God and Israel many times, said, God, don't you wipe them out. Don't you do it. Sometimes God had to intervene on Israel's part with Moses. Just all the emotions that we think about in the Old Testament. All those great men of God who had compassion for the nation of Israel. All those great men of God. We think about in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the greatest human being who ever lived. Jesus Christ, the sinless Savior. His emotions. What emotions did he show? Well, sometimes he showed anger when those individuals were selling in the temple. And he went in with the whip and chased them out of the temple. The Bible says there that you can be angry and sin not, right? And then you think about most of it, we think about Christ, we think of what? Compassion. Compassion. If we as Christians who are born again, we Christians who are born again, exhibit the emotions of Christ, I believe that greatest emotion there is compassion. And can I say that compassion doesn't just show up? It's something we must pray for and ask for. Matthew chapter 23, and I'm done. Old Jesus speaking, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Listen, just before Christ is about to go to the cross, he's weeping over the city of Jerusalem, having compassion on them. As he's on the cross, he says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about the compassion of Jesus Christ. As he looked at that thief on the cross and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Think about the compassion of Jesus Christ. That's the emotions that we should have as Christians. So, preacher, you were saying that we would have selfless feelings towards our waiter or waitress and towards the person checking us out of the line at Target. What did you mean by that? I mean compassion for them. And wanting to see them saved. To wanting to see them accept Christ as their Savior. Compassion for them. Jude says, and some have compassion making a difference. And others say with fear pulling them out of the fire. 1 Peter 3:8 says, have compassion one for another. We think about having compassion for the lost world out there that has never accepted Christ as Savior, who are on their way to hell without hope. And we have the great message of the good news of salvation, how they can have hope. And we need to have the compassion of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, he said. And have that compassion that he had. And to tell others about Jesus Christ, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and tell others. And then we should have compassion for each other as Christians. As we are part of the family of God, we should love each other. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And we should have that compassion and do good for others. Are you born again this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Listen. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must. Are you born again? If not, you can step out of your chair just a moment. We're going to start a chorus, some music. And you can step out of your chair and come forward here at the altar. And someone here at the altar will show you from the Bible how you can be born again. How you can have everlasting life. Christian this morning, yeah, earthy, heavenly. Adam's image, God's image. If we are born again and we are partakers of that divine nature, how is your mind this morning? How's your thought life this morning? How's your will? Are you yielded to God's will in your life? Are you compassionate? How's your emotions this morning? Is there a genuine love for those around you, out there and in here? Let's follow in His steps. Let's do good. Let's all stand.